Hi everyone, this is Meritess Bod. Thank you so much for watching or listening to our podcast today. Today we're going to do a little bit different. I'm going to present and show a few things on the screen. If you are just listening to the podcast, hopefully you could still get a little bit from it. But definitely check it out on YouTube so you can see the actual slides that I'm presenting. So today it's called Estate Planning 101. So that means we're just going to boil it down to the basics, and hopefully it's understandable to you. What we're going to do is share four common fact patterns in estate planning. You may be part of this fact pattern, you may not recognize the fact pattern, but hopefully you can relate to one of the fact patterns and understand it. But at least it helps you understand just the topic of estate planning. So the first one is young families. So you might have married couple with a couple kids, they're both minor children. And so typically the family is going to have three objectives. One is to name a guardian for the minor children in case the parents, heaven forbid, pass away. They also want to make sure that money is available to raise the kids. And then, of course, give the money to them in different stages in their adult years. So those are very common fact patterns. So now I'm going to show you this particular fact pattern when there's no planning involved. So you do nothing, no will, no trust, no nothing. Often people own assets in these different categories. They have a house, they have some retirement accounts, they have life insurance, and then they have other stuff, which I consider just regular stocks, CDs, anything like that. How are these distributed to your family members? So we're presuming this is a young couple. So the house is held in joint tenancy with the married couple. They also have beneficiaries on their different assets like life insurance and retirement accounts. And then now everything else falls in the category of probatable assets. So probatable assets means if it's in Illinois, if it's greater than $100,000, then guess what? We're opening an estate, a probate estate. So at the first death, the surviving spouse does get the whole of the house automatically without going through probate if it's in joint tenancy with right of survivorship or tenants in common, or not tenants in common, or tenants by the entirety. Okay. If upon the first death, then typically with life insurance and retirement accounts, you put your spouse first and then your kids second. So it will go to them without going through probate. However, everything else, so if you do have, say, a bank account that's $200,000, then you have some cars and then you have some just individual stocks, that will have to go through the court process. And it's called probate. And as we've talked about in previous podcasts, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and then it's public record, which you don't want to happen. So even though people come to me saying, "Oh, I'm okay, I don't need any planning, I have everybody named," not everything has beneficiaries that you can name. And so we don't want any of your assets to go through probate. And then what about simultaneous death? What if husband and wife die together? Right? We don't know that. We don't have a crystal ball. And certainly if all of it is going to go to the kids, what age do we want them to have it? So if they're young, if they're under 18, the money's going to be held by the life insurance company until they turn 18. And then at 18, here's your $500,000 insurance policy, which may not be what you would want to happen. Okay. So now I'm going to show you this fact pattern with a will plan. With a will plan, we're going to have all these different documents. The main document being the last will and testament. Okay. Common objective is to name your guardians there. Unfortunately, with a will, you still have to go through probate if you have assets that are greater than 100,000. So we might have named guardians in the will. We've done that, but we haven't avoided probate. Okay. Because you take all those other assets, joint tenancy, assets with beneficiary. Yes, it goes to family without going through probate, but still, now we're still going through that probate process. So, what is the best way to do it? And then, of course, the house. The house can also be transferred to the family through what is called a transfer on death instrument. And that means upon the death of both parents, we can name the kids as the beneficiary. But once again, if they are too young to get it, that would not be a good idea. So now what's the best option? A trust plan. The trust is going to be the main document. We're going to have the spouse still be the main beneficiary, but now we're going to add the trust as the second beneficiary. We're going to have all these other documents listed here, of course, and we're going to have everything kind of laid out in the trust. What we're doing is avoiding probate. So that's what this whole objective is, to avoid probate. The trust already says everything goes to the spouse upon the first death, and then upon the second death, we'll go ahead and give it to the kids in trust with, you know, provisions to make sure they get the money at appropriate ages and stages. So with a young family, you might think, oh, I have a simple plan, I don't need to do this. Just beware that there's objectives that you are not fulfilling if you don't have an estate plan in the first place, or if you just have a will. Okay. Now the second kind of fact pattern is if you had gone through a divorce. And now the person who's divorced has children, they come to me for advice. So usually their objectives are, I want to name my guardian for my minor children. We still want to give money to the kids in stages. But then number three there is absolutely what most people are like, please make sure it doesn't go to my ex-spouse. Because if you have children together, guess what? Your ex-spouse is the natural guardian for your minor children. If you do no planning, potentially it could go to your ex-spouse. So if there's no planning involved, we're going to have all these assets that are dependent on what type of asset it is. So I told you earlier, some things have beneficiaries, some will go through probate. And eventually it'll get to the kids, but some will go through probate and some will not. But again, if they're minor children, do you want them to get it at 18? And then who is the beneficiary? It's the kids, but they're minors, but the guardian is the ex-spouse. So guess what? With that, the ex-spouse can essentially just keep spending the money, whether they use it on the kids or not, it's nothing you can control. So that's pretty scary that your potential inheritance that you're giving to your kids might be stripped away, taken by your ex-spouse, and possibly even your ex-spouse's new relationship, right? And their children. So with a will plan, it's fine. Just like earlier, we can have a will. We name your guardians. We have to go through probate. And then there's going to be assets that go to the kids directly. But once again, we're going to have the same issues. Kids could get the money at 18. Money can go to ex-spouse. And then if there is no contingent beneficiaries with respect to the assets that aren't part of the will, in case, you know, both of you are gone, basically. Okay. So now what happens here? A trust plan is really your best bet. And I know I'm going to be repetitive about that. Your trust is going to have all the instructions on where it's supposed to go. Your trust will avoid court system called probate. We're going to also give the money to the kids. It's going to be available to raise them by the guardians you've chosen. But nothing, zero, will go to the ex-spouse, because you're going to choose the trustee that's going to manage that money. Hopefully it's somebody on your side of the family, and that money will never go to your ex-spouse or your ex-spouse's new relationship. Okay. And then I also say that let's address any requirements by your divorce decree in the trust so that we don't overgive to your ex-spouse. So if the life insurance requirement is no longer needed because maybe the kids are past college, then let's make sure that the trust is the beneficiary and nothing goes to your ex-spouse inadvertently. Number three, another common fact pattern is people would just, they're single, no kids. Okay. Some of their objectives are naming the people that they want to give to, family, friends, and charities. They also want to name the right person to take care of this and help decision. And then, of course, they want to eliminate any family members that they don't like, which is not You know, we all know that there's some dynamics in families that we can't control. So if they do no planning, this person says, forget it, I don't care, I'm dead, which is a very common way of thinking. But no planning means, okay, we're going to determine who's getting everything just based on beneficiary designation. So then when you die, when this person dies, it goes to the people that are on the beneficiary designation. And then anything that is not designated will go through probate, and the state of Illinois will gladly create a will, quote unquote, for you, and it's called the law of Illinois statute. Okay. And so who receives money? We don't know. Are they your siblings, parents, relatives? You don't even know. Possibly. If we find your heirs at law and these are your cousins twice removed that you've never met, it's possible that they get your money. Okay. So what do we do? Well, this person is still concerned and wants to give it to the right people. So we create a will, just fine. We still go through the probate process, but at least the main thing is we're going to choose all the beneficiaries. And you're going to have all these people named also on these types of beneficiary designations. And then your house can also be chosen beneficiary. Okay. The negative about this type of plan is you're only really thinking of one circumstances or one if. So the chosen beneficiaries will get it, but what if one of those people or all those people are not around? They predecease you. Now where does it go? So now we go back through the probate process and give it to the people. And if it's just it's kind of just one-sided, and the will is a little bit, let's say, just short-sighted because we can only say here it goes to person number one, person number two, person number three. But if person number three is not around, where does that go? Does it go to the other people? Does it go to the children of those people? Who knows? So we won't be able to do that. So in this case, I'm even more inclined for a single person with no kids to create a trust. Why? Because it's your money that you worked hard for, and if you really do care for your friends and family, why make it difficult for them? So let's eliminate the probate process. And when you die, it's going to go to people that you want to give to, not random people that happen to have some kind of blood relation to you. We will eliminate probate. We could also plan for various contingencies. So if this person's not around, give it to this person. If this person has a drug addiction, we're not going to give it to that person. So it is a lot more control for you to be able to give it to your family and your friends and your charity. Okay. All right. Last common fact pattern is blended families. I've talked a lot about blended families in different podcasts, but here are some of their objectives. Make sure their assets go to each of their respective children. Make sure the right persons are chosen to act on their behalf. And then usually there's one joint asset. So usually it's a residence, and then they are always concerned, well, who owns it? And will the surviving spouse be able to live in it? And what if it's sold? Where will it go? That type of thing. So if a blended family does no planning, okay, we're going to have different ways of distributing the assets. Okay. So we're going to have an example of husband and wife. Husband dies. He has all these types of assets named this way. So there's some that are probate assets, some are joint tenancy, like a house, and some have designations, right, like the life insurance and 401k. So now wife receives everything because he designates her, and we do have to go through probate for assets that are greater than 100,000. So eventually it goes to wife, okay? But we go through the probate process. Let's just say wife remarries 5 years later, meets new husband. Wife dies, 100% goes to new husband. Okay. The kids from the husband, the first husband, get nothing, absolutely nothing. New husband dies, his family gets everything that the first husband worked hard for. Okay, so this is certainly not in anyone's radar when they think about how it's going to go down. And often the prospect will tell me that, well, my wife can just take care of it. She would never do that to my children. Famous last words, right? I know you trust each other. I get that. But things happen. Life happens. You fall in love again. Then people will do people will do manipulation, unfortunately. They will scam people. They know when people have money, and they know that if I marry this person, I'll get everything. There's ways that people have figured it out. So as much as you can trust your spouse, I get it. Why not assure that it's not going to happen? So with a will plan, we're going to do the same scenario. Husband dies. Everything goes to wife. Maybe there's a will. I mean, there is a will, but we go through probate because assets are greater than 100,000. That's probatable assets. Wife remarries again, new husband. Wife dies, 100% still goes to new husband. So even with a will plan, you've done nothing to protect that. Once again, nothing to the kids from the first husband's family or marriage. New husband dies, goes to new husband's kids. So there really isn't much here that we did compared to the no planning, right? You see, there's the same box, the same scenario. How do we prevent the new husband from getting this money? And you can understand what it'll be. It'll be a trust. I'm a big fan of the trust because the trust has more flexibility, more ways to plan for the what if. So we've got the will, we've got a trust, all the assets are connected to the trust. Husband dies, gives things to his wife, but it's still held in trust. Okay. Wife remarries 5 years later, fine. Wife dies, all of those assets in the trust will now go to his kid, the first husband's kid, not to the new husband. Okay, how does that happen? Because the trust is irrevocable once the first husband dies. And wife, hopefully we'll have probably a co-trustee that acts with her. She can use the funds, but if there's anything left over, it goes to the first husband's children. The new husband gets zero. Hopefully he has his own estate to give to his kids, not depend on someone else's fortune. Okay. So you can see a very different picture, right, from planning or not planning properly. So, in a nutshell, with no planning, there's a high likelihood that assets may not go to the right people. Your family will likely go to probate. Beneficiary designations will prevail, but what if you forgot to change it because you put somebody down that you don't talk to anymore? Okay. Children receive money right away once they're 18. And certainly there's no protection for any of the beneficiaries from remarriage, divorce, special needs, things like that. A will plan has some objectives that you'll fulfill. You can choose guardians for minor children, but your family will still go through probate and all those other things that we said about no planning still actually occur. The trust plan, what does that do? The trust plan is really your main objective and main way to assure that your assets are going to go to the right people. We're going to choose guardians for minor children. If you have that, your family will avoid probate, and your children and beneficiaries will receive it, the money, when you want them to, as opposed to, at 18. And then beneficiaries will receive some protection from remarriage, from divorce, from lawsuits, all these things that you don't even think about, but we're thinking about it for you and for your family. Okay. I know a lot of information. This is a lot to digest. So please feel free to give us a call or email us on the information's on the screen. If you'd like a consultation, we will discuss it, this topic based on your specific situation, And I will tell you, just discussing it, I can see the relief on people's faces just from having that first discussion. And obviously, once we implement the plan, there's even further relief and peace of mind. So again, this is Mara Tesbah. Thanks again for watching, and thanks for having being part of our podcast. Have a great day.